Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Have never even visited a mosque. And on my short list of people to meet before I die, Minister Louis Farrakhan. I make it my practice to never practice more than one religion at a time. So y'all must admit, I do not know a lot about Islam other than what I research for this show. But don't you dare worry. Our guest tonight is Brother Jeffrey Muhammad. He's with Mosque 48 in Dallas, Texas. And he's been a Muslim, for what I understand, for over 23 years with the Nation of Islam. So he is armed with all the knowledge we'll need to get through the next 2 hours. So don't dare worry. But I did do some research, and what I did find very interesting is that Muslims believe that God is one and incomparable. Muslims also believe that Islam is the complete and universal version of a primordial faith that was revealed at many times and places before, including through the prophets Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. Most Muslims maintain that the previous messages and revelations have been partially changed or corrupted over time, but consider the Quran to be both the unaltered and final revelation of God, the final testament following the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to see if Brother Jeffrey Muhammad agrees with that assessment and what else he can tell us about what Muslims believe. But a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the stage for the first time Mr. Jeffrey Muhammad. Good evening, Mr. Muhammad. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Assalamu alaikum to you and all of those in the listening audience. For those who are unfamiliar with those words, they simply mean peace be unto you. And so we always begin in the name of Allah, the one true and living God, thanking him for Moses and the Torah, Jesus and the gospel, and thanking him for Muhammad and the Holy Quran. Peace be upon all of his worthy servants. I thank Almighty God Allah for raising in our midst a divine leader, teacher, and guide, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who brought a message from Almighty God Allah that would reform and re-educate and retrain, uplift the black man and woman out of a condition that over 400 years of mistreatment had placed us in. And I thank Almighty God Allah for his mercy and grace in our midst today, for such a champion for truth, a man who is courageous and who is unafraid to challenge the powers that be, who, as the prophets and messengers of old, spoke truth to power without fear of any consequence. And I speak of none other than that black man who called in the name of God 1 million and nearly 2 million men gathered in Washington, D.C. on October 16, 1995. He is an instrument of God, and I believe him to be the voice of God and the messenger of God to us all today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So in
and
their
I myself
I
have great
call,
I'm not a practicing Muslim, as I said, but I do have great respect for you all's leader. I must admit that. But since you brought up Minister Farrakhan, we'll start there. I was going a different direction, but we'll start there. He's come under fire recently for some of the comments that he made about our president in relation to the situation going on in Libya. What would you say about that? Do you agree with the minister?
I agree 100% with what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said. It is unfortunate that our brother has succumbed to the pressures of those who control America and control this government. It appears that he has bought into this idea, and for him to outright call for the murder of a leader of a sovereign nation, and I mean our brother Muammar Gaddafi, who is the leader in Libya. That is a sovereign nation, and whatever problems they have, they should be allowed to solve their own problems. America has too much blood on her hands in the murder of the Native Americans, in the murder of the Hispanics taking their land, in the murder of Africans and our forefathers being brought here. To judge any nation in Africa, especially when you have a leader like Muammar Gaddafi, whose humanitarian record and whose record in the things that he has done for his people in Libya, using the wealth of Libya and kicking out America and Europe, and this is what they're really angry about. They want the sweet crude oil that's in Libya, and this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is saying. They haven't been concerned about humanitarian efforts in other parts of the world. Why are they in Libya? Why are they in the Middle East at all, in Iraq, based on a lie? Why isn't President George Bush brought in front of a world criminal court for causing thousands of lives to be lost based on a lie when they went into Iraq to invade Iraq. The same in Afghanistan. Now in Libya, all of these countries have one thing in common. They have oil. And so Muammar Gaddafi took the wealth of Libya, the oil. He used the money from the oil to build houses for his people. There are no homeless people in Libya. The people have employment. He had a man-made river built and pumped water from under the sand, and he actually has enough water to supply the whole country for hundreds of years.
Well, let me ask you this, though,
Brother Muhammad. Well, there's free health care, and there's free education for every Libyan. I mean,
why was Minister Farrakhan so strong with his language toward our president, though? He's been verbal before about disagreements that he's had with the president, but never has he been as strong as he has been on Libya. Why now?
Well, I beg to differ. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has spoken out very strong when they claimed genocide in Darfur. At first they said it was slavery in the Sudan as a way to try to maybe influence blacks in America to take a greater stance against it. Then they called it genocide, and they said that Arabs in the north or Muslims were murdering Africans in southern Sudan, when the truth of the matter is that they're all black people, and some speak Arabic, and some speak Arabic and a native language. But those who speak only Arabic, they call them Arabs, but they're blacker than you and I. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has spoken out many times and confronted the presidents, written letters to the presidents, President George Bush, President Bill Clinton. And he has always stood and spoken out when others were afraid to do so. So this is not a new thing, but, you know, we feel that our brother, Barack Obama, and the minister loves our brother and wants to see him guided aright. But there are forces around him, again, that, you know, obviously are ill-advising him, and he has either succumbed to the pressure or he himself has turned and now believes and has taken on that thinking.
Well, why wouldn't the minister seek to do a reprimand, an open reprimand like that, especially? Why wouldn't he seek to have that meeting in private as opposed to a public don't get me wrong, I love Minister Farrakhan. I absolutely do. And as I said, he's on my short list of people I'd like to meet before I leave here. But I don't know that I agree with that. I thought that he's such a smart man and he has so much wisdom. I wasn't sure that that was the right way to go about it.
Well, you have a right to disagree. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that whenever we make a mistake in the public, we are corrected in the public. Mm-hmm. If we make a mistake in private, then we're corrected in private. The prophets and messengers of God didn't call secret audiences with the rulers and the leaders of their day and time. I see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as the voice of God standing today to speak not just to the President of the United States. He chastised the presidents in Europe, in France, in China, in Russia, all of those who joined forces with America in the United Nations to call for this unlawful and wicked scheme to murder a man who has done good in Africa. This is something that we must say, and that, you know, Libya is in Africa, and America has declared war on the head of state of an African nation. And so the minister must stand now, since President Obama made this mistake on the world stage. Why
but it wasn't
he be
because of
into
his
private?
Friendship with Gaddafi. You're saying it's not because of that. It was just because he felt what the president was doing was wrong.
Of course he loves Brother Gaddafi and anyone who would stand up and help our people.
Okay.
But this is bigger than Gaddafi. It's about the principle. Minister Farrakhan is a man of great principle, and he will speak truth to power, and he will try to advise our president so that he could move in a right direction, because he believes he's moving in the wrong direction. And the more he moves in that direction, you will see the chastisement of God, as Minister Farrakhan has warned our president and those before him. When you see all of the calamities, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, all of these things have been increasing in frequency and intensity in America, and it will continue. No nation has the power to bomb America and to overthrow America, but she is no match for God with all of her stealth bombers and the weapons and gunship helicopters. She can't beat a tornado. She can't beat drought. She can't beat her country being on fire and under flood. Same plagues and chastisement that God put on Pharaoh for her mistreatment of the children of Israel, we believe America is now receiving those same calamities and chastisement. She is under divine judgment, and she should be careful how she conducts herself in other parts of the world. And this is the warning that Minister Farrakhan is offering to the president and other world leaders.
Okay. If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight for the topic, Is Islam a Misunderstood Religion? Our guest is Brother Jeffrey Muhammad. He's going to talk to us about everything Islam tonight, and we're going to see, is Islam a misunderstood religion? If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in the chat room. However, you'll need a Blog Talk Radio user account in order to do that. So you'll need to go over to blogtalkradio.com and follow the instructions from there. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.africanamericannewsandcommentary.com. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is also being brought to you by Daily Deposits for the Soul, your daily guide to enriching your soul and improving your mind in just 15 minutes a day. They're located on the web at www.dailydepositsforthesoul.com. Let me ask you something, Mr. Muhammad. In the intro, I spoke about the Quran. And basically, it is said that Muslims believe that the Quran is unaltered. And so they believe that other books have been corrupted, but that the Quran has not been. How can you all be certain of that?
The Holy Quran was revealed through the Holy Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah 1,400 years ago, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Mm-hmm. And to this very day, it has remained. Anywhere you go in the Quran, in the world, pardon me, the Quran that we read, of course, we don't read Arabic, most of us, so there is an English translation, and on one side you can see the Arabic. Every Quran in the world is the same. We cannot say that for the Bible, Old Testament, or New Testament.
So some people believe you are not reading the Quran in Arabic, then you're not getting the true translation. So if you're someone who doesn't understand Arabic, are you really getting the true translation of the Bible? I mean, of your Quran, I'm sorry, of your Quran?
Well, the Holy Quran speaks of one who would come and who would be taught the wisdom, the book and the wisdom, the Torah and the gospel, which means that he would be taught the Quran. He would be taught the Old Testament. He would be taught the New Testament. He would be given the true and proper understanding of all of the books. This one comes after. We believe that one has come to America, and he is that one who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and who taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man who only went up to the fourth grade. And the exegesis or interpretation of Scripture given by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is that which properly explains the Bible and the Holy Quran, the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, and brings it up to a modern time so we can see it in its true and proper and modern-day context. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us that understanding. But to speak of the Quran, of course, there are many translations, and I'm looking at probably about 6 different translations, and one who wanted to study all of the English, and though it's very similar, there are different words, but of course the best way is to study the Arabic, because the English language is incapable of capturing the precise, mathematically precise language, Arabic.
Okay, so you all believe that the Bible is corrupted somewhat, correct?
We believe that in the many translations and versions, which is different from translation, because
mm-hmm.
there are Bibles that have some books in it that are not in other Bibles. And so the Bible we read, of course, the King James Version, has 66 books. There are other Bibles, the Jerusalem Bible, that includes books that are not in the King James Version of the Bible, a Bible that was authorized by King James, translated by poets, and even in the Bible itself, in the foreword, it tells you that it was diligently compared and devised. It tells you in the footnotes that there are certain verses that didn't exist in the most ancient manuscripts. And so we know that the Bible has been tampered with, and we believe in the infallible word of God. No matter what you do, God's will be done. And so we believe that there are errors, there are mistakes, and then there are things that have been outright purposely done to the scripture. And so the Quran comes at the end, in perfect anticipation, in God's perfect anticipation that would be done to the word that he revealed through the prophets and messengers. Satan does not want the truth told to the people because, as Jesus said, it is the truth that would make you free. But you can have the book and not have the proper understanding of it. And this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan does. He turns water into wine, means that he takes dead letter scripture and he gives it spirit and makes it live in a modern day and time, so that we don't read the Bible or the Quran looking back 1,400, 2,000, 4,000 years ago. These books have meaning today because they're books of prophecy, and we believe those prophecies are being fulfilled all around us.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. Area code 973-673. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Good evening. To the host, and assalamu alaikum to Brother Jeffrey Muhammad.
Walaikum assalam, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to the conversation and speaking of the Quran. Many of us see the Quran as a correction for the books that came before, the Bible and the Torah. Like the brother said, the language of the Bible is not in its original tongues, as opposed to the Quran, which is still in its original tongue 1,430-some years later. So we have the original language, but the Bible is lacking because the original language is not there. King James had many of the words changed in there when he had the poets change the language to make it acceptable to the common people, because the Bible was not allowed to be read by the common people at one time. Only the higher-ups were allowed to read it. So they made a King James Version that would be acceptable to the common people, but much of it was kind of hidden from them, and it was made in a language where the language in the Bible seems kind of corrupted, in the sense that you see a lot of sexual things in there and other things, but there's high meaning in it. Not to say that there's no wisdom in the Bible. There's plenty of wisdom in the Bible. It's the interpretation that has to be understood and what's being said. But the Quran is a correction for all the books that came before. And if you learn the Arabic, then you will get the full essence of the Quran. And there's many translations. Like the brother said, there's many translations. And some of the translations lack a lot. But you can still get the essence of what the Quran is saying from the English language.
Well, caller, can I ask you a question? Do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God?
In its original form, okay, when these books were revealed in its original form, people say that, yes, it was the Word of God. And but like your brother said, it been corrupted.
But do you believe that? It being the word of God, God would allow his word to be perverted?
Well, man has done a lot of perverted things in this world. And
but, I mean, if God...
No, that's why they had all these prophets come to try to clear up what came before. You know, Moses came with books, and then they sent Jesus to correct what came before. Am I correct? he was a prophet also sent to correct what came before, because the people went astray again. And I'm sure Minister Jeffrey could explain that to you. So now these prophets had to come.
So you believe that God would allow his word to go out perverted?
Well, as I said, it wasn't the intention of God for that to happen, but it happened. That's why prophets were sent constantly, because people were deviating, going astray, and they corrupted the book. Now, you can see that the Bible is not in its original language, so I guess God allowed it to happen. Everything happens because of the will of God. It happened, and but he gave us a wonderful book in the Quran. I don't know if you ever read the Quran. Have you ever read the Quran, ma'am?
No, sir, I have not. I practice only to practice one religion.
No, it's okay. If you read the Quran and you read the Bible, you will see many similarities, and you'll see the corrections. But you would have to take your time and go through both books in order to get a better understanding.
Okay, I appreciate your caller. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for allowing me.
I'm sorry?
I thank you very much for allowing me to speak, and also to Minister Jeffrey also.
Thank you. We're going to go to area code 225-773. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hello, this is Donald Lee. I'm a pastor here in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
I heard a couple of things off the top. The earlier minister mentioned Honorable Louis Farrakhan as the voice of God. He didn't say a voice of God, but the voice of God. And I want to know, how is it that he gets the voice of God? And if he's the voice of God, then what you're telling us is God's word only is valid out of his mouth, or out of the Quran, which he did not write. So how did Farrakhan, or Minister Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, be the voice of God? The other thing you said was that he, to this day, he's turning water into wine. And how is that possible? And I got one more thing to it, as a matter of fact, because I'm trying to remember everything you said. Then you said that the young lady asked you if the Bible, do you believe that the Bible is corruptible, or the Word of God is corruptible, or the Word of, out of the Bible is corruptible. And you keep going to, in its original form, it was okay, but then it got translated. And so right now, we're not going to even worry about the original. Right now, the Bible that most Christians, particularly here in America, read, is it corruptible? Is it not the true Word of God?
No.
And what makes the Quran the true Word of God? And what makes Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan, the voice of God, the only voice of God?
Well, can you repeat your first question?
Okay, the first question is, the gentleman earlier mentioned that Minister Farrakhan is the voice of God.
Okay, I thought that was the second question.
He didn't say there's a difference between a voice of God and the voice of God.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm, but,
That was me. I said that.
Okay, I didn't know
but
which
the
one of you was. Uh-huh,
yes, sir. No, that was me.
Yes, sir.
Almighty God, Allah, we are taught in the Holy Quran, and the Bible bears witness, he is not the author of confusion.
Right.
He is the author of peace. And he has never sent, throughout time, more than one prophet or messenger. He has never sent or raised more than one prophet or messenger from among people at a time, except in the case where it appeared Noah and Lot were very close as messengers or prophets from God. We believe that in this day and time, Almighty God Allah has raised from among the former slaves, black people in America, who has fulfilled the prophecy given to Abraham in the 15th chapter of Genesis, that we would serve in a strange land among a strange people for over 400 years. And after that time, God would judge that nation that we would serve. We believe that God has raised the most honorable Elijah Muhammad as a modern-day Moses, and that he has given him an articulate spokesperson in Aaron. As God gave Moses Aaron, he has given the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. And these two represent a modern-day Moses and Aaron, who were both given a rod to speak truth to the powers that be, but to also offer a message of warning and deliverance to a people. And so when we say that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the voice of God, of course there are many others who also speak the truth that bears witness, but we say that he is that one that God has chosen and anointed in this day and time to be his messenger and to be that one. And you don't know another anywhere in America or the world who speaks with a voice like Farrakhan's, who speaks the truth as Farrakhan speaks it. Jesus said that I will send you a comforter. He would be the spirit of truth. No one has the spirit of truth. You don't know another man in America with the courage or with a message that contains the power that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has and speaks.
Excuse me, sir.
The proof is in the fact that the words that come from Minister Farrakhan, if you go back and check the record, God backs him in what he says. And he has backed him in the words that he has spoken every time he has spoken truth to the American government and to all of its former presidents and to the leaders throughout the world.
Excuse me, sir. With all due respect, when Jesus said that I will send you a comforter, he was not talking about Minister Farrakhan. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about now, with all due respect to Islam, As Christians, we believe that the Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking about was his spirit. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus ascended up to heaven, we believe, according to our Bible, that is incorruptible, okay? We believe that the Holy Spirit was the spirit of Jesus who came down and is here even now. As a matter of fact, when you talk about a comforter, it's the spirit of the Lord that's in God's people. Then you say, and that's fine because that's what you believe, that's your religion. But according to my religion, according to Christianity, Jesus, before he left, he had given us a commandment, the disciples a commandment, and that is to go out and to make disciples, to go out and win the lost, to go out and introduce people by his spirit to Jesus Christ. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We believe that he is alone is the sent Messiah. We believe that he is the only one who can save. And we also believe that through Christ Jesus and through his spirit, that everyone who has confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we believe that we all have been given the great commission by the Almighty God, who we call Father, Abba Father, by the way. We believe that he has given us commission to go out and to share the word of God and to spread the word of God. That's what we believe. And we don't believe that it's just one pastor or just one person who is the voice of the Lord. We don't believe that. I mean, I respect your view, but, you know, I would be remiss if I did not speak on the side or from the viewpoint of Christians. So, when you say that he is alone is the voice of God, I take a difference, and I differ strongly. With all due respect, sir.
How do you respond to that, Mr. Mahomes?
Well, I say that our brother has a right to believe as he does, but I would ask him the question that if we have all of these Christians and we look at America and we look at the condition of our people, I would say that the proof is in the pudding that you don't know Jesus very well. Because if we knew Jesus, then we wouldn't be plagued with the kinds of problems that we have. If we were true followers and practitioners of his faith. And I think that the greater truth that needs to be spoken is that which Minister Farrakhan is trying to lead us all to. And that is that Abraham, according to what the Holy Quran teaches us, it said that he was an upright man and that he was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but an upright man. And then it says a Muslim. And my sister, you say you practicing one religion at a time. That's your religion. You practice one at a time. Well, it says that set your face for religion being upright. And that is the right religion. See, what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us is that Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, all of the prophets and messengers came from the same God, and God is not divided. And that Moses taught the same principles, but he never said he was a Jew, and he never said he taught Judaism. Jesus never said he was a Christian, and he never said that he was teaching Christianity. And so what we're saying is that whether you consider yourself a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew, we all come from the same God, that we all believe that there is one God, that we all believe that we should pray to that God, whether you stand, sit, kneel, or prostrate. We all believe in doing good and charitable work and paying charity. We all believe in some form of fasting, whether it's for expiation of sin, spiritual growth and development, for mourning purposes, or for healing purposes, physical healing. And we all believe in some type of pilgrimage or hajj or journey, the real journey being man's growth and development from the lower animalistic stage, as we are represented in the Bible, these nations as beasts in human form. And when you look out into the streets of America, you see that the people are actually acting like savages. You should be able to see Jesus' work. When you see policemen with a taser, with a Glock, with a billy club, they have all of these weapons because this is what you wear when you're in the midst of wild beasts, animals. This is what the society has become. So where is Jesus? What we should focus on is that the right religion is to practice the principles that the prophets and messengers taught and stop being divided by the names that have been given.
Right.
Jesus said, be ye not just hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word. Prophet Muhammad said, mere belief counts for naught, except that it is carried into practice.
And we're going to pick up area code 862 next. But the caller did make one more point when he brought up the thing about the Trinity. Christians believe that the Holy Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What do Muslims believe about that? Do you all believe in the Trinity at all?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that it is against nature and mathematics, the laws of nature and mathematics, to divide three into one and then still call it one. It cannot be done. And so even if you look at it mathematically and you divide one by three, you get 0.33. And if you add that up three times, you get 0.99. And so one of them has to be 0.34 in order for you to actually have one. The sender is always greater than he who is sent. And Jesus himself said that he was sent by God. And the mistake that the Christians have made, that we are saying with all humility to our brothers and sisters, that we make a great mistake when we take the prophets and messengers of God and worship them as a God besides God. Because when they came to Jesus calling him Master, he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but the Father.
I'm going to stop you right there, and I agree with you.
That's misquoting Jesus, sir. First of all, number one is you mentioned someone. One of you gentlemen mentioned that I didn't know. Perhaps I didn't know Jesus. One is this: Jesus said, "I am."
I didn't mean
truth.
You personally. Let me make that clear.
I'm not taking offense. I'm talking about the society in general.
This is not a Christian or a righteous society.
Mm-hmm.
It claims to be a Christian society,
but this is not a Christian nation.
Okay, listen to what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that you're making a statement, and I just want to say, okay, if you say that, then my response to that, because we're saying that Jesus is saying that he's not great, that was it, Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Is he the one that was greater than Jesus? Is that what you're saying? Hello?
You're saying, I'm sorry, what, say your question again.
Who is greater than Jesus? That's what I'm trying.
They were talking to Jesus 2,000 years ago and they called him good master, I said, Jesus said, there is none good but the Father. Jesus always put it back to God. He said, whatever the Father will it, that I do. Whatever the Father commanded me to speak, that I speak. So So Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing. You know how you say that in the language that Jesus spoke, since he didn't speak English because it wasn't in existence 2,000
right.
years ago? In his language, you would say, I am a Muslim, because a Muslim is simply an Arabic word that means one who submits his or her will to do the will of God. This is what Muslims. Well, no. I'm telling you that this is what the Arabic word means. It's not something that can be debated.
Right.
It's
it's
an Arabic word.
Spanish, any other, it'll be a different translation.
Exactly.
But the word Muslim is one who enters into
we can't talk at the same time. If I can
finish
my point. Okay, I'm saying that a Muslim, the Arabic word Muslim, one who submits his or her will to do the will of God, and by doing so, they enter into peace. So when Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done, speaking of God, he was saying in that ancient language, I am a Muslim. When Moses said, my way is peace, he was saying my way in the ancient language is Islam, because Islam is the religion of peace. And when we say, As-salamu alaykum to you, it means may God's peace be upon you. And whenever Jesus greeted his disciples and left his disciples, he always greeted them, peace be unto you. And so in his language that he spoke, he would say in Hebrew, shalom, or in Hebrew Aramaic, shalom aleichem, which is the very thing we say. I think that we should not focus so much on the labels, as Minister Farrakhan said. The wino is interested in what's in the bottle, not the label on the bottle. None of the prophets and messengers can you find anywhere in the Bible gave a name to their religion or the teaching that they brought from God. You are my brother. You are my Christian brother, striving to submit your will to do the will of God. And I am your brother in Islam, striving to submit my will to do the will of God. And the only person who is happy over the division of the people of God into these major religions and then into the sects and denominations within those religions is Satan. And if we all who strive to obey God will come into greater unity, this is the time of the separation of the sheep and the goat that Jesus talked about. We have to come into a greater unity, and our communities wouldn't be overridden with the type of crime, with all of the drugs, all of the prostitution, with all of the churches and all of the mosques and all of the temples and synagogues that we have in our communities. Why do we still have all of the problems that we have? It's because we are divided and overcome, for the most part, in the houses of worship. And this is why judgment is going to start in the house.
Okay, thank
and
you.
Well,
God,
I wanted to, I wanted to respond to that, if I can.
Then we
got to
catch the next caller. Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, one thing I want to say this, and I say this with all due respect. One, as in terms of, if we're talking about brethren or brother in terms of humanity, yes, we are brothers in humanity. We're brothers in the human race. If we're talking about brothers in terms of being of the same God, then I have to differ with you. We are not brothers. And I'm going to say this. Here's why I say this. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is not only a great prophet, but he's also the prophet. I believe that he is the Messiah. I believe that no man can go to the God the Father except through him. Now, I noticed that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan says that he quotes Jesus a lot, and I noticed he quotes Jesus a lot. But one of the things I have not heard him say was that Jesus, when Jesus said, when he says, I am the truth, the way and the life, no man goes to the Father but by me. I've never heard him say that.
He has
I think that's a bold statement. And when we quote, it's funny to me how in Islam I hear people quoting the Bible a lot, but yet you say that the Bible is corruptible, yet you quote it. That doesn't make sense.
There are truths. We believe in the truths of the Bible that was brought to us by all of the prophets and messengers. But we believe that there has been falsehood added to it, and it must be properly interpreted so that man won't be snared in the falsehood that exists in it. Minister Farrakhan believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. And what we're saying is that if we walk in his way, if we live by the truth, and if we pattern our lives after the life of Jesus, you will see the flesh and blood manifestation of God walking in a man, because Jesus represents man in perfect submission to God. And when you see man in perfect submission to God, you're looking at God. If you want to know what God looks like, then submit yourself as Jesus did in perfect obedience to God, and you'll see God walking in a man.
Okay, we're going to go to area code 862-252. Thank you, previous caller. 862-252, good evening.
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes, sir, you can be heard.
Yeah, may the peace of the Creator be on everyone in the room. My name is Rasul Amin.
Yes,
I have I represent independent ministry. My theme is how to put the neighbor back in the hood, and I'm calling from New Jersey. I have a street ministry. I believe it's time to come out of these houses of worship and get out here amongst these youth and spend time with them. That's my position. What I want to say is a couple of things are happening here. I think we're getting off topic. The topic is Islam a misunderstood religion?
Yes, sir.
Now, as Muslims, most of us come from Christianity, so we know what Christians believe.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the brother, he made a good point about, as far as he said, every time he hears Mr. Farrakhan or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speak, he hears a lot of the mention of the Bible. The Quran refers us to those scriptures. But when you talk about is Islam a misunderstood religion, you come from what the Quran says. You don't come from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Wafi Muhammad, Mr. Farrakhan. That's a conversation that I'm hearing between the brother and the Christian brother, and some of the things being said. That's a conversation about the Nation of Islam, which is a whole another topic of discussion that you could have on that language. But when you have a topic, is Islam a misunderstood religion, then you come from what the Quran says.
But isn't the Nation of Islam following the Quran?
The Nation of Islam has a mixture of several things. So that's why I said when you have this type of conversation.
Well, you can't make a statement like that without elaborating, such as a mixture of what?
Well, in al-Islam, you come from the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet of 1,400 years ago, and you come from the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the teachings, okay? Now, what we have, and when we're talking about the Nation of Islam, that's something that was sent to us also, but particularly for us as a people and what we came through as African-Americans and our situation.
Mm-hmm.
See, al-Islam is for humanity. It's not just for no black man. Al-Islam came for the entire humanity. So when you're representing Islam, this is what you have to come from. Now, if a brother asks him a particular question, all due respect, you know, I'm saying my cousin was the first one to bring Minister Farrakhan on the scene in Plainfield, New Jersey. You know, I have brothers that have been in the Nation all their life. I know the language well. But what has to happen is when you represent the religion of al-Islam, you come from the Quran, period. That's it. Now, there's open dialogue in there for interpretation, and that's what's happening here, is we're dealing more with interpretation than what the word says, and this is why we're having this back-and-forth conversation with the Christian brother and Brother Jeffrey Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just saying we're getting off context here, and I didn't come in to take over the conversation.
But
I'd just like to say one last thing, too, because, like I said, I work with Brothers in the Nation. I'm well-known with them, too. But the thing of it is that, see, humanity has more in common than division. And if we focus on what we have in common, we'll get somewhere. See, the world is too small for selfish expressions. I'm Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm Jew. This is why we don't get nowhere. We have to focus on what we have in common and do the important things, you know. All due respect to all those leaders who came, Elijah Muhammad, Mr. Farrakhan, Imam Wafi, Huey P. Newton, all of those great leaders that came, Harriet Tubman, you know, even the prophets and messengers from Adam to Muhammad, they are potentials that are within us.
Mm-hmm.
So they have nothing that I don't have as an individual. That's why I got blessed. I'm an independent ministry. I stepped outside the mosque. I work the streets where the people are. And I'm not saying that as to praise me, but it's about the individual understanding who he is and going to work, and that's what all scriptures do, if you understand.
But So do I understand you to say you're a practicing Muslim?
Excuse me?
Do I understand you to say you're a practicing Muslim?
Well, yes and no. That's a whole nother topic. I'm actually what you call a mu'minin. Muslim is actually the nature of creation. That's why the brother Jeffrey was telling the brother that if you do certain things, and he was talking about the prophets being Muslim, it's in the nature. See? So that's a whole nother subject between the difference between Muslim. The Quran says, O you mu'minun, O you who believe. So that means that that book is for anybody who believes in God, Jew, Christian, Buddhist, whatever you are, that is for him. Muslim is the nature of creation. The squirrel is a Muslim. A tree is a Muslim. Anything that submits to God's will is Muslim, except man has a free will and he goes astray. So that's another subject that we don't want to take away from what you're talking about tonight and Brother Jeff. But I just think that we need to get back on the subject. Is Islam a misunderstood religion?
Yes.
And not so much what Christians believe, because that's not the subject tonight. And then that they'll be back and forth with that.
Hey, thank you so much. Mr. Muhammad, let me ask you, who do you, or I should say Islam, believe that Muhammad is? I mean, you told us a little while ago about who you think Jesus is. Who do you all think that Muhammad is?
Muhammad ibn Abdullah of 1,400 years ago is the last prophet from God who received the revelation of the Holy Quran that was given to us. And it is the Holy Quran that Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used that word from Almighty God to transform all of Arabia and deliver the Arabs from a very savage condition. He did that work with the Quran among the Arabs, and then he began to spread throughout Africa, going and covering northern Africa all the way back into Europe as Islam began to spread throughout the world. Jesus himself, 2,000 years ago, began with a message that was sent. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So at first his message was to a particular people, but then later his disciples were sent throughout the world to teach the universal aspects. Islam, as it was taught to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the deliverance of the black man and woman here in America, at first was delivered as a message specifically to get the black man and woman up out of a condition that over 400 years of slavery and oppression had placed us in. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and this is why we see him in the modern context, we see him as one who is turning water to wine. We see him and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in a sense, in two phases of the Bible, where you have the Old Testament where the law was brought, and then you have the New Testament where the law was fulfilled. The teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is truth. Truth is universal, and though the message was specifically tailored for black people at a particular time, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taken that message in its universal application, and this is why he is loved and respected throughout the world by black, brown, red, yellow, and white people, because of the universal application of the principles of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this is what we're talking about tonight. There is one religion, and God's religion, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, is the same as it was in the garden when he gave it to Adam. And that religion is obey me.
So in your understanding of Islam, do you feel that Muhammad or Jesus is greater? I mean, who has a greater significance?
The Holy Quran does not allow us to make any comparison of the prophets and messengers of God. All of the prophets and messengers of God came at a particular time to do a particular work and to deliver a particular message to a people in their time. They are only judged by whether or not they delivered the message. It is the only duty or responsibility of any prophet or messenger of God, and that is to deliver the word or the message that God has given them without fear of any consequences coming from those that they ought to deliver the message to, even if it meant their very lives. and many of the prophets and messengers were tortured and beat and murdered and persecuted because of the message that they were given by God. And so has the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and so has the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan been called everything except who he really is, and that is the voice of God in our midst today, a man raised by God as a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and given a message. And if that message were not as powerful as it is, we would not even be having this conversation, and Islam would not be the fastest growing religion in America. And so as we talk about Al-Islam, as we talk about Christianity, as we talk about the Nation of Islam, I say that if an electrician comes to a house and the lights are out, you don't have to say that the electrician was there if the lights are on when he leaves. You knew he was the electrician. I say that black people were asleep, and God raised up the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he began spreading Islam. And all of us, whether we call ourselves Muslims or Christians or whatever, we owe a debt to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad for the great work that he did and the early followers of Islam. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is continuing to spread that message today.
Well, you know, the previous caller said that we were getting off subject and we were not talking specifically about the religion of Islam. So we're going to deal with that in just
Islam
a minute.
Islam is not a religion.
I'm sorry. Well,
Islam is the nature in which God created man.
Okay,
and
so
as
what
I have
your religion,
said from
then?
The very And
what do you
I
call
said
your
from
religion?
The very
if it's
beginning,
not, if you're not practicing
we
the...
use the names Islam, but as I have said from the very beginning, none of the prophets and messengers of God in the Bible ever gave a name to the body of knowledge that they taught or brought from God. They
okay,
all
the young
taught
man said
right
you're not
principles.
Muslim. You just said you're not practicing Islam. So what are we to call your religion? You
we
just
are
said
practicing
that,
Islam.
You
We're
just
practicing.
Said that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the country. You just said that of your own admission.
Right. Islam in name, if we want to use words, it's an Arabic word that means the way of peace.
Okay.
And
but
how
we
do gotta you
call
get
it
peace?
Something, right? So for
you
the
get
purpose
peace
of radio.
By, yeah, and this is why we use the name Islam, because there were so many other religions in the world. The Holy Quran said, and I give you Islam as a religion.
Okay.
To
now
separate it
Islam
from everything else that has been given.
Okay. Well, let me pause for a break, and then we're gonna get specifically into the religion of what I call Islam and what Mr. Muhammad is calling, what are you calling it tonight?
Islam is the way of peace. It is submission to the will of God, and you can call it whatever you want to, but if you're a thief, you're not a Christian, you're not a Muslim, if you're a liar, if you are a person who is in rebellion to God and the way of God, as taught by Moses, Jesus,
well, let me
Muhammad,
ask a specific question.
Or any
what
other righteous
does
man,
the nation,
then you're not following God.
Okay, what religion does the Nation of Islam follow?
We are Muslims and we follow Islam.
Okay, y'all heard it first. If you just tuned in, you'll come to say tonight for the topic is Islam, a misunderstood religion. We're talking to Brother Jeffrey Muhammad with Mosque 48 out of Dallas, Texas. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in the chat room. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.africanamericannewsandcommentary.com. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is also being brought to you by Daily Deposits for the Soul, your daily guide to enriching your soul and improving your mind in just 15 minutes a day. They're located on the web at www.dailydepositsforthesoul.com. Okay, Mr. Muhammad, or Brother Muhammad, a lot of people feel that the Islamic religion oppresses and suppresses women. Why do you think that is?
Well, Islam seeks to set boundaries on the behavior of the human being, boundaries prescribed by God And because God is the giver of this life, it is he who is best able to tell us how to live it.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at how women in the society today are very loose women, when you look at how we're being represented on television, in the music industry, in the music itself, on in the rap videos, in television, in the billboards, and not just rap music, all of it. It appears that women are being paraded around, but especially our sisters, as pieces of meat. It appears that they are being undressed and uncovered and put on stage in front of the entire world. And it is actually representative of a society that has become savage.
Mm.
And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that civilization is not judged by the man, it's judged by the woman. He said, and where there are no decent women, there are no decent men. You don't judge a civilization by the man, you judge it by the women. The woman is the first teacher and trainer of the children.
Mm.
And so Islam comes to dignify. That's what Islam does. It dignifies. And it creates in a woman the desire by giving her the knowledge of herself as the woman of God. It generates in her a desire to cover herself and to not parade that which should only be seen by her husband in the privacy of her home.
Is that why her head and most of her body must be covered at all times?
The principle is that she should dress modestly. And this is not just an Islamic principle. This is taught in the Bible, and this is what our Christian women used to practice back in the day, if you remember. They covered themselves. They wore long dresses. They wore hats or wrapped their heads, even as the Bible teaches a woman that she should cover her crown. She should cover her hair because it's her crown. The woman should cover that which would entice the lust of a man. And in the society, we see the women walking around constantly dressed in a manner that the sexual nature or the sex drive is constantly being titillated in the men in the society. And so men are walking around constantly looking at women whose breasts are our brother said, popping out the top of your turtleneck. I mean, and the men are walking around in the society looking at this constantly, a woman whose clothes are so tight, and the way they design the clothes even is to attract the attention of the male. No wonder we don't get very much done as men in the society, in our community in particular, when you look at the women and the way they're dressed.
Islam
comes to make a man and make a woman. Islam teaches us as men, and I'm talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the class designed by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the FOI class. It teaches us the real value of a woman and that we should respect and protect our women. No men will ever be recognized and respected by other civilized nations of men as long as we don't protect and learn to respect our women. Islam does for us.
You just used the term protect and respect our women. But I understand that Islam allows a man to beat his wife. So that doesn't sound
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that any man who has to beat a woman is a man who has lost the ability through the power of his mind and his mental capacity to actually deal with a woman. And if you have to beat a woman, you don't need a woman. No man should ever beat a woman. As a matter of fact, I'll just say a man don't beat a woman.
A real man.
A real man. There ain't but one kind of man. You either a man or you're not. And a man don't hit a woman.
Well, I question some of them. I'm sorry, but anyway, I'm just saying, a real man. Let's just say what it is, a real man, because I think there are a lot of boys in it that have grown up.
Well, you're talking about males.
Yeah, right. I guess you're right. Correct me here. Okay, we're talking about males.
And
you're
a man of God would never beat a woman.
Okay. But your religion allows for that. Is that not correct?
My religion doesn't allow for it. See, my religion or the way of life that I have accepted as a student of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan prohibits us as men from hitting our women.
Okay, then let's
now
call it what it
my
is.
My way.
The Quran allows for it, then. Is that not correct?
I think that is something that is misunderstood.
Okay. Okay. So is it in the Quran that a man can beat his wife?
The Holy Quran does say, beat them lightly. This is for the women that are disobedient.
So that's almost like reducing a wife to like a child status. If she's disobedient, then you have the right to beat her lightly. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that you do not have.
Because we're trying
Quran,
to understand. Remember, the topic tonight is Islam, a misunderstood religion. So we're trying to understand what does the teachings of the Quran
here we are again. We have to look at the words and the English language. When you chastise, there are many different ways that a woman or a child could be chastised.
Mm.
You can beat somebody up with words.
Okay.
You can beat somebody up in many different ways. And so if we're looking at the Arabic being translated into the English,
mm-hmm.
then we'll begin to lose the true meaning of what the Quran is saying. We believe that it is something that is misunderstood as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under Minister Farrakhan's leadership, and that no man should beat a woman.
Okay, I understand that. So, physically,
you should not beat a woman.
You beg your pardon?
You should not physically beat a woman.
But
we also believe it's wrong to beat somebody down verbally to the point where you begin to affect their self-esteem. And we have destroyed one another with words.
With words.
Through emotional abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, and we believe that all of it is wrong. We should love our women.
Well,
we should love the woman who has stuck by us through over 400 years of slavery and mistreatment. She has suffered so much
mm-hmm.
at the hands of our enemy. She should not continue to suffer at our hands. And this is why, as in Islam, and this is why I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the class that he gave us to make us men who love our women and respect them and will protect them from the abuse of any other man.
Well, let me ask the question then. You run, or I shouldn't say run, but you're the leader of Mosque 48, correct?
I'm the student minister, yes.
You're the student minister. Okay, can a woman ever be student minister of Mosque 48?
Absolutely. We have had a woman, a very beautiful sister, who also has a program on Blog Talk Radio, Sister Minister Ava Muhammad, who was not only a minister, but she was a student regional minister over the entire southern region of the Nation of Islam. She's a national attorney, a very beautiful and brilliant woman who speaks with such fire and conviction that she can actually inspire men. And at one time when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan left the country, meaning North America, to go and travel abroad, he left her in charge of the Nation of Islam as one of those who sat with a council to actually direct the nation in his absence. And so we respect women for the beauty of their mind. And this is what the dress is seeking to do. When a woman is asked to cover herself, she's saying, I don't want you to just be acquainted with me by looking at my body and my adornment, my breast and my behind and how beautiful I am. I want you to really become acquainted with me by becoming acquainted with my mind. And if you attract a man with your flesh,
mm-hmm.
then don't be surprised that you got a dog, because dogs like to eat meat.
I agree. What do Muslims, or what are Muslims taught about homosexuality?
We say what the Holy Quran says and what the Bible teaches as well. The Holy Quran says in Surah 7, verse 80 through 84, and we sent Lot when he
mm-hmm.
said to his people, do you commit an abomination which no one in the world did before you? Surely you come to males
with lust instead of females. Nay, you are a people exceeding the bounds. And the answer of his people was no other that they said, turn them out of your town. Surely they are a people who aspire to purity. So we delivered him and his followers, speaking of Lot, except his wife. She was one of those who remained behind, and we rained upon them a rain. See then what was the end of the guilty. We believe that homosexuality is an abomination. It is detrimental to our future as a people. It is non-productive. God put the man and the woman here to multiply, and it is not possible. What happened if all the men fell in love with the men and all the women fell in love with the women? We would cease to exist.
If a Muslim brother came to you, his student brother, and said that he was a practicing homosexual, what would then happen to that Muslim brother?
He would be welcome to come into the Nation of Islam just as he is. He would go through the process, but he would not be allowed to stay that way.
Really? So
he can come in.
The Bible says,
I don't believe that we're born that way. I don't believe that God makes those kinds of mistakes. I believe that he made a conscious choice to do it. I don't claim to speak for any of them, but I know that Almighty God, Allah, and in his word, in the Bible and the Holy Quran. But, you know, to give it a broader view,
mm-hmm.
we don't throw off on the homosexual because God doesn't like adulterers and fornication either.
I agree.
And thieves and all of them, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm beating up on homosexuals. But as pastors, as ministers, we must speak the word of God. And homosexuality and lesbianism is against a way of life that is pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we can't allow you to just do whatever you want to do simply because you put money in a collection plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, if you come to the Nation of Islam a homosexual, as there have been some, but you're expected to clean up and reform just as the person who comes in smoking cigarettes is expected to quit, just as the person who comes in as a drug addict or a prostitute or a drug seller or an alcoholic or a fornicator or an adulterer, whatever your problem is, we're all messed up. But you're expected to accept the righteous way of life and strive in the way of God and reform your behavior. And
okay,
this is why
I
love Islam, because it does that.
Per the Quran, what sin is considered unforgivable?
We are not permitted to eat the divine, the prohibited flesh of pigs. But
that
then
is an
the
unforgivable
Quran
sin
even
in,
says,
Are you saying in the Islamic religion?
The Quran says that if driven by necessity, meaning that if you're somewhere and you're getting ready to starve to death, it basically says you can eat it, but then when you are in a better position, then refrain from it, and Allah is off returning to mercy, the merciful. Nobody forgives like God.
Now, first of all, I want to make this a two-part question because I did not know that. I asked that question, but I totally was not prepared for your answer. I think this will be a two-part question. And first of all, there's the Bible says that, you know, what God has cleansed, that you cannot call that common. But I would also think that the second part of that question would be there's murderers, there's rapists, there's pedophiles, and you're telling me that the Quran says the greater sin of all those would be that I ate pork or a piece of bacon this morning as opposed to, you know, if I did one of those things? Are you serious?
No, I mentioned that just to express how God is often returning to mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But as followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you rape one of our women or you molest any of our children, we will absolutely kill you.
Ooh.
And go to prison and be very proud about it.
No. So your religion says that it's okay to kill?
Absolutely. It's not okay to murder. But I believe that in the Bible and the Holy Quran, it teaches that thou shalt not murder is the proper way to interpret the commandments.
And I think that's
but
a,
Almighty
that's,
God, Allah, allows us to fight and defend our lives. See,
that's
and what
a contradiction
has happened
to say
us,
that you you can hold on. I think I just heard you say it's okay to kill and it's not okay. Well, I'm sorry. I think you said it's okay to murder, but it's not okay to kill. Aren't they the same thing?
No, that's not what I said.
Okay, what did you said something very similar. I said that
those who interpret and study as scholars the words of the Bible
mm-hmm.
have taught that there is an error in how we read the Ten Commandments, and that it should be more properly stated, thou shalt not murder, because to murder someone is to unjustly take the life of another human being. We're commanded by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that we ought to kill no one that Allah has not ordered to be killed. And we have not been told to murder anyone, because the truth is that none of us are righteous enough. When you look at the black man and woman in particular coming up out of the hell that we are coming up out of, none of us are righteous enough to enact a law like that. But a man who raped a woman has actually murdered her in her very spirit and nature, in that what God demands in the nature of a woman to offer to a man, she has just been murdered. And to a degree, the healing for that woman begins with the death of the man that raped her. And this is absolutely the law of the prophets and the messengers that has been given to us throughout the Bible and the Holy Quran.
We will murder a man who rapes one of our women and we'll go to jail proudly, is what you just said.
That's not murder. I said kill. You have to rewind this and go back and listen to it.
Wow. Okay, so
there's a difference between murder and kill.
Let's just say in the bubble that I live in.
Any man that comes to kill me, I have a right to fight and defend my life.
Okay.
And
I don't know if it's 972 or 225. I'm getting them all confused now. Do me a favor and go hit the one again so I know which one of you all, because the board keeps changing. And I can't tell whose hand is telling me to come to them again. But I would think in the world that I live in, the small bubble that I'm in, murder and kill are the same thing. And so I don't know. But that's very interesting that you put that that way. Okay, we're going to go back up here to 973. I think they're raising it. 973,
yes.
Are you saying come back to you?
Yes.
Okay, yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say, first of all, did you ever hear of Imam W.D. Muhammad? Ma'am?
I'm sorry, say what?
You ever hear of Imam W.D. Muhammad? Imam
no,
Wadisdin Muhammad?
No, sir.
Okay, that's the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Okay.
Okay, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed in 1975,
mm-hmm.
he took over the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
He brought us to proper al-Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And Imam W.D. Muhammad has the best understanding
mm-hmm.
of al-Islam that we ever actually heard in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The man was so knowledgeable and such a great understanding of the Quran. And he passed a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if you would be able to get some of his CDs and listen to him, and
tell me
see what
he's saying.
He gives you a wonderful understanding of the Quran. He knows the language of the Quran. He
mm-hmm.
gives you the best understanding. Now, all this killing and murdering, see, this might be what Minister Farrakhan teaches, but
mm-hmm.
that's not what al-Islam teaches. Allah is the most merciful God. He
mm-hmm.
forgives you for every sin except for worshiping something other than God. Okay?
Mm.
Now, the pork, that's all can be forgiven, you understand? Like the brother said, out of necessity, you have to eat it, but you're forgiven for that.
Mm.
That's not a great sin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a great sin. But to worship something other than God, that's a sin that he doesn't forgive. That's what it states in the Quran, okay? As far as the women, we don't beat women. And that's a misunderstanding in that translation in the Quran, thinking it's speaking about women. But
mm-hmm.
there's a deeper understanding. You have a concrete understanding, you have an allegorical understanding of the Quran. It's not really talking about the woman. It's talking about the mind. I'm not going to go into that because it's a deep subject.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's
mm-hmm.
why we have to have the proper understanding of what's being said. We just can't, you don't take the Quran literally.
Well, I got the student brother here to explain it to me. I told you going into the show, my intro said, I know enough about Islam to feel offended, but I have someone who's been a practicing Muslim for 23 years. So I told you going into it, I'm not your expert. Mr. I would think so. Brother Muhammad
may
here is the expert.
Ma'am? May I say something, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
I was a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Okay.
Okay, from the 60s until he passed. And then when his son came into leadership
mm-hmm.
after he passed,
mm-hmm.
We made the transition to proper al-Islam. And believe me, what he has taught has been so clear. So clear, there's no doubt about what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You will get the best understanding of this religion if you would just get a hold of some of his CDs or his books and teachings.
Well, let me ask you this. Am I understanding you to say that Minister Farrakhan is not following the same teaching?
It's not the same.
It's
no,
not the,
it's
okay.
not. Okay? And, no disrespect to the brother, the minister, but it's not the same. The Quran and Minister Farrakhan's teachings are totally different. They're not exactly the same. Okay.
So you're saying that...
And Prophet Muhammad was the seal of the prophets. No prophet to come after him. Matter of fact, our understanding is that Jesus Christ, that Muhammad was the return of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was the Word, and Muhammad came back with the Word, because Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But then he said, it's a speeding that I go away for. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Prophet Muhammad was that comforter. He was the return of Jesus. He just brought back the teachings of Jesus, and like I said earlier, it was the Quran was a correction of the books that came before, and it does speak about the books. And we don't have no animosity against Christians or anybody else. We love our Christian brothers. And the Quran, it says that the Christian is the closest to the Muslim, okay? So we respect the Christians. I don't condemn a Christian brother. Like Christian brother was speaking about earlier about his belief in Jesus Christ. You know, people believe innocently in a lot of things.
Well,
we don't condemn. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the religion. Okay,
well,
it is misunderstood by many because they don't read the Quran, they don't study the Quran, they don't get the proper understanding, and
okay.
Some people like to mix truth with falsehood.
Okay, let's let Brother Muhammad respond, and then we're going to go to area code 314.
Sure.
Thank you again, caller 973.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
I believe the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is following in the footsteps of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, of 1,400 years ago, more so than any other man that I see walking on this earth today, because Prophet Muhammad was a man not only of deep principles, but he didn't just teach it, he lived it. And he was a man who warred against unrighteousness, and he transformed the lives of the people that lived in Arabia at that time. And I always say, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
The teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad are very relevant today, and I love our brother, and we agree with them that Prophet Muhammad of 1,400 years ago was the seal of the prophets. We're in the time of the presence of God and the fulfillment of that which was prophesied by the prophets, and we believe that the two men that are the fulfillment of what was prophesied, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan. And let me say this from the scripture. In the Holy Quran, Moses is mentioned more than Muhammad himself. And in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 18:18, God speaking to Moses says to him, and I will raise up from among them a prophet like unto thee, Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I command. The Muslims believe, or the Christians believe, that this was Jesus of 2,000 years ago, and the Muslims believe that Muhammad of 1,400 years ago fulfilled this. The problem is that in order for you to be a man like Moses, you have to be a man raised from among a people who were enslaved. Jesus was not from among a people in that time, 2,000 years ago or before, that were enslaved to another people. And neither was Muhammad. He went up against the ruling class of his own people. The only people who were ever enslaved by another people for over 400 years are black people in America who were taken out of Africa and brought to America, and we have fulfilled those prophecies that were spoken of by the prophets, and now we're in the time of the manifestation of the presence of God, and this is what Jesus properly represents. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan are not prophets. They are the men who come at the time of the fulfillment of what the prophets spoke of. So I agree with my brother wholeheartedly.
We're going to go to area code 314. Good evening. You're on center stage.
How are you two this afternoon?
How are you doing?
This evening.
We're doing great. How are you?
You know, I was listening to your conversation.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, when we talk about, and I ain't going to say when we, but when it's talked about with religion, talking about Moses and these things, there should be a clarification as to that that's the way the story goes.
Mm.
But, and basically, and you know, when Africans was brought here to this continent, they were following Mohammedism and tradition because Christianity, there was no Stanley and Livingston into West Africa at that period of time. But I'm going to mention one other thing. I really have respect for Elijah Muhammad for the simple reason is because he put in place a mechanism where at that particular time that he lived, the Nation of Islam was the largest employer of black people in the United States. But today, black men in the Nation of Islam has yet to recreate what Elijah Muhammad set down to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not providing the economy in your economy in your neighborhoods and your community. Your children are running amok, and so on. Your women is ranked last in every measurement of life as it is presented here in the United States. Matter of fact, our statistics, as they are indicated as for what an American is supposed to look like, we don't even look like Americans. So, why come the men of the Nation of Islam today cannot pick up where there was that disconnect with the economics that was being projected coming out of the Nation of Islam, and why come they can't project it on further? We have buildings here that's used as a mosque, and they're scared to put speakers on the outside of the building and call the prayer, call the azan. That's black men that's afraid to do that. But when you go to Houston, you got Middle Easterners who are following Islam. They do a call of prayer. It seems as if there's two different Islam, which is, you know, it's a possibility. There's nothing wrong with that because there's many different versions of Christianity. There can be different versions of Islam, too. Well, my question is why come black male Muslims are not carrying forth that economic program that Elijah Muhammad, you know, put in place? That's how people will respect you. They won't respect you on your intellect and what you able to quote this, that, and the other. They want to see some results as it has to do with making their lives better economically here within the United States.
And, Cole, are you the same
one
that has
I would say to my brother, and I don't know if he's talking about us as a people or if he was talking about the Nation of Islam in particular, but I would be very interested to find out where he got those statistics from. We have men and women in the Nation of Islam, all over America and other parts of the world, who, as a result of hearing the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, have become very smart and industrious. In fact, if you look at Muhammad Mosque number 48 here in Dallas, and I know the same is true in Houston, Texas, and in other parts of the country, I would venture to say that probably 60% or more, and I remember at one time it was even greater than that, of the men in our mosque, by the grace of Allah, own their own business to employ themselves and possibly others. And so I had a young man come up to me just yesterday, because we are known for that, and ask me for a job. and I directed him right to another one of my brothers who is able to supply him with a job. I'll tell you that we took young men off the street, and in 2 years, they grossed over $1.5 million selling an apple, banana, and orange in a bag on the corner. And because they learn how to take that old hustle from selling drugs and they clean up their lives and they take that same initiative, that same drive, that same discipline, that same ability to organize that they may have used in a gang or that they may have used selling drugs, and they learn how to put that to use. And so now they have carpet cleaning businesses. Now they have paint businesses. Now they have maintenance. But then we have engineers. We have teachers who have their own schools. One of our brothers over in Lancaster with a learning center. We have brothers with tax services. We have sisters who have clinics. We have one of our members with the Supreme Wisdom Family Clinic, and so as a nurse practitioner. And so we have many members who not only have their own businesses to employ themselves, but they also employ others. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, after the Nation of Islam fell in 1975, stood up in 1977 to rebuild the work. We have reclaimed some of the farmland that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had, and that land is actually being farmed. And here in Dallas, we have the Ministry of Agriculture, as we have it throughout the Nation of Islam. We have a Ministry of Health and Human Service that at the mosque provide free screening for cholesterol and for blood pressure and for glucose. Do that free screening every month on the first Sunday of the month. The Ministry of Agriculture now in the process of developing community gardens, and in fact have been leased 10 acres of land to set up our farm to show our people that we have to return to the land and begin to feed ourselves. We have four brothers in the mosque, and I was the first one to start a construction company to actually build affordable housing following some of the examples given to us by Sister Diane Ragsdale at ICDC and other community development corporations, but ours are privately owned and not and receive no government funding. We have our own school at the mosque where we educate not only Muslim children, but there are Christian children, children of traditional African religions that also attend our school, and we have schools throughout the country in Chicago.
Okay, Carl,
so
okay.
We are rebuilding the work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So just look around, and we just got started. By the grace of Allah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is bringing the nation all the way back, and we will reach our goal by God's permission.
Okay,
to clean
thank you,
up
caller.
Our
thank you, caller. Another thing that some people misunderstand or don't really understand about the Islamic religion, do you all believe in the concept of a heaven and a hell?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that heaven and hell are two conditions right here on this earth. And you either live in heaven and build a heaven for yourself on this earth, or you live in hell. And unfortunately, we have lived in a hellish condition. And this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us right now, that we have to come into unity. We have to stop the divisions that exist in religion. We have to stop the infighting within these different religions among the different sects. We all believe in one God, and we must come together to overcome those who have continued to systematically oppress us as a people. We're not in this condition by just happenstance.
Okay, our
but
Christian brother, I believe,
take
has
our unity.
A Christian brother has one more question. 225, did I see you raise your hand again?
Yeah. Okay, the gentleman said that the Honorable Elijah, Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan says that hell, heaven and earth is a condition. Here in earth, right? You either live in heaven here on earth, or you live in hell here in earth. And then he said, unfortunately, we're living in hellish conditions. Okay, yet you follow the teachings of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and he is the voice of God, Okay, if he's the voice of God, and you're following him as he follows God or Allah, how is it then that you are living in hell? It would seem to me. It would seem to me that, that you would be on the heaven side here on earth, or and if you follow him and yet you're still in hell here on earth, then what's the point of even following Islam or following any religion or anybody?
No individual can rise above the condition of his people.
Thank you.
You can be in the midst of hell and still have peace of mind. Islam can give you that peace of mind. Following Jesus' teaching can give you that peace of mind that even if there's all types of confusion and disorder and chaos and there are hellish conditions around you, you can still have a peace of mind and enjoy heaven while you live. But the condition of our people as a whole, as you walk through the black community in every major city, when you look into the ghettos, what you see are hellish conditions. So regardless to what you may achieve as an individual,
mm-hmm.
you can't rise above the condition of all of our people. Just because we have a few Oprah Winfreys or we have a Michael Jordan and we had a Michael Jackson, when you look at the majority of our people, our children are growing up in single-family homes and our women are suffering from being single parents and trying to raise the children alone. They're going out to work. The children are raising themselves, and so we have drug and crime and poverty and prostitution, and this is what Islam comes to clean up. This is what following Jesus' teachings properly will erase. And so we have a great work to do, and we must unify and understand that if I'm in a burning house and you run in to save me, I don't ask you, are you Muslim? Because if you're not Muslim, don't save me. No. We are in a burning house in our community. You know, I remember a pastor giving an example that you got three men standing on the bank, and the man is in the river drowning, and one is a Muslim and a Christian and a Jew, and they all got a rope, and the rope appears to be too short. Why don't they tie the ropes together, get the man out of the river, and then you can debate religion? See, it's no use in Muslims, Christians, and Jews standing around arguing because we all, as black people, are suffering and catching the same hell every day from police brutality, from unemployment, and from all of these other statistics that we could continue to name and talk about and talk about. But really, we want to talk about the solutions. And I'm telling you that the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the example that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us in his purpose, in his person, pardon me, is that which has actually transformed. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I am not just a witness bearer. I'm part of the evidence that you can take a man who used drugs, sell drugs, drink wine, run the street, chase women, and he can transform his life in just a blink of an eye.
But the world you just described, you know, as you described it, high unemployment, police brutality, poverty, you name it, you know, we're dealing with it all, floods, hurricanes, this couldn't be at all, right? I mean, this could not be the end. So if you say there's no heaven or there's no hell, I have to agree with the Christian. Why would I serve a religion when this is it? I mean, so what would be the purpose of religion if all I'm going to get is what I got right here?
I continue to live as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that there is no heaven or hell to go to after you die, but that is what was taught to our people in slavery, that they should not worry about the condition that they were in and the suffering that they were under. But after they died, they were going to go to heaven and enjoy a great life in this big heaven up in the sky in the sweet by and by, and that they didn't have to worry about it because on their backs, the slave master was living in a heaven that was being built on the backs of the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work hard, and I strive to live a righteous life, and I try to follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's example and make a difference and try to affect change in our community and in this world, because I have four daughters that are coming after me, and I don't want to leave this world the way I found it. This is why we should strive hard and serve God and work hard and try to bring about that which is better than what we have now. It's because we will continue to live through our children.
Okay.
And
if
I
you
think
just
that we should
in,
all work to make sure that they have something better, that we leave it better than we found it.
If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight for the topic, is Islam a Misunderstood Religion? We're talking to Brother Jeffrey Muhammad. Brother Muhammad, one thing I am curious about is the Nation of Islam, and when, you know, like I said, I have a sibling who's Muslim, and, you know, every other word out of her, out of every other word out of their mouth is, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, she really loves her religion. That said, Elijah Muhammad, from the way history says it, says that he had many women. But, you know, at the same time, you know, that's not something that you all ever talk about. He did have some character flaws. I'm wanting to, you know, some clarity on. Because is it true that he had many women?
No.
And I say that very gently because I know he was you all's leader and founder, you know, of the Nation of Islam. I get that part. But let's be transparent and real that he, like other leaders, have had some flaws.
All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and even if he's not perfect, he's perfect enough for us. He did not have women. He had wives, and Islam allows a man to have more than one wife. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had wives, and this is something that we find in the lives of the prophets and the messengers of God. Here is a man who comes in the time of the fulfillment, and he did not sin in his domestic life.
Brother Muhammad, you cannot say he didn't sin, though, because the I think the Quran says, or I know the Bible says, obey the laws of the land. So in this country, you know, polygamy is not acceptable. So if he had multiple wives, you know, technically that would be unlawful. Even though I think adultery or, you know, would be unlawful as well, but, you know, it's not, like, punishable by jail time. But multiple wives in this country is.
The Holy Quran and our religion of Islam and any religion from the prophets and messengers of God teaches us that we should respect and obey those in authority as long as it does not conflict with our religion. We are not obligated to obey anyone above God.
We are not
obligated to obey anyone above God. We are to respect and obey those in authority as long as it does not conflict with our religious teachings and belief from Almighty God.
Okay.
God is the ultimate authority, and a Muslim does not recognize any man as king or master, and this is why the propaganda against the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the name-calling against he and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, and this bashing of Islam in the world today is because Islam is a religion that when it is taught to an individual, it removes fear from man. It removes fear for other men. And so they don't ever want Islam taught.
Please don't take anything that I as an attack, because, you know, the topic tonight is Islam, a misunderstood religion, and as one of the brothers did say, you know, some of what we're seeing seems like basically the way the Arab Muslim practices Islam is a little different sometimes from the way the Western Muslim practices Islam. Is that safe to say?
Well, I wouldn't take anything that you say to me in that vein as an offense, no more than I would, even if it is offensive, no more than I would any other brother or sister, because I understand where they got that viewpoint from.
So I
understand how the propagandists have, through the media, you know, the Zionist-controlled media,
television, radio, newspapers. I understand how they have always slandered men of God.
In the movie Malcolm X?
Slander, that too, that's new television. Their slander of a man of God, they believe, allows them the right now to live the kind of life that is displeasing to God. So people are always waiting for a man of God to fall because it then justifies them living a filthy life. But I'll tell you that even those men who preach the word, we should live the word. But even in our shortcomings, it is no excuse or reason for any other person, because the job of a messenger of God is just a true and proper delivery of a message. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the most moral man, the most respectful man, the most honorable man that you will ever meet or that this country will ever see. And the proof is that he gave us so many great men that Imam Waris Deen Muhammad could never have been if it were no Elijah Muhammad. The Malcolm X could never have been. The Muhammad Ali could never have been. And the Louis Farrakhan could never have been if it were no Elijah Muhammad. So if you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears, then you can tell a man by his work. How could a man
of low character
produce such great men?
Let's try to pick up one more caller before we get out of here. Area code 702. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Yeah, this was Pianki calling back in.
Yes, sir.
You didn't give me the opportunity to respond to the brother.
Sorry.
Brother Muhammad. And what I wanted to tell him is I really appreciate his response, because his response is very accurate and very truthful. And that's the response I really expected out of you, because out of the NOI comes some very strong and very truthful black men. And I have to take my hat off to what you have done and what you continue to do. You know, it's nothing wrong with Islam. It's the rest of the people in this country that's not doing, especially African Americans and blacks, that's not doing the things that would be expected of them, especially along the lines of the economy, the schools, and so on and so on and so on. So I really appreciate, you know, Farrakhan. He's very intelligent, and I think he's one of the most – I don't think there's another black leader, a person in that position in the United States that can stand up against Louis Farrakhan. He's an outstanding person. I just think he's been around too long. He needs to be able to enjoy the rest of his life. But that's basically what I want to say. And there's nothing wrong with Islam. I've been in a lot of Islamic countries. I spent a lot of time in Egypt. And I spent a lot of time in other Islamic countries. And you are safer in those countries than you are in many of your states and cities in the United States. A child can stand on the street corner and wait on the transportation, and nobody's going to bother that child. Even in some countries like Iran, you can leave a packet of money on your dash. Ain't nobody going to touch that money. But you can't do that in this country that we have here today. And Islam, I look at it more as a way of life, as a culture rather than a religion, when you really get down and study it the way, you know, it should be studied. So, brothers, I appreciate what y'all are doing, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, caller.
God bless you, sir. There's no greater enjoyment for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan than to do the work that God has called him to do, and that is the work of the upliftment of humanity, fallen humanity, that begins with our own people here in America. And so what would make the minister happiest is to see us come together as a people in unity and to get up out of this condition that we find ourselves in or that we have been placed in. So a man of God has to die on his post. He don't retire. There's no retirement in the work of God.
Let me ask one question before we get out of here, because this is one thing I've often heard about Islam that I've never understood, and maybe you can give me some clarity. A lot of times we hear that when we hear of, and I want you to clarify two things, actually. The connection now, you know, every time there is a suicide bombing or something, they connect that to the person must be Muslim. And another thing I like to address is then it's often heard that there'll be suicide bombers because it is believed that when they die, they'll get seven virgins. Where is that in the Quran, and what is that all about?
I've
they'll
never
be considered
read
a martyr,
that in the Holy
and they'll
Quran.
expert.
I've never read that in the Holy Quran.
Really?
But to give your life in the cause of truth is the greatest honor that any of us could have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Jesus did. And Jesus didn't do any more than any righteous man or woman would do, and that is, as his followers, the early Christians, it's easy for people to say, I'm a Christian today, but when they were telling his followers that they should deny Christ and deny the religion or be thrown in a den of lions, and they would rather be fed to lions or they would rather be burned at the stake than to deny their faith, it wasn't so easy. But that is a great and honorable thing, and when it happened, it inspired others to greater faith. What you see in an attack on Islam and its association with terrorism is an attempt on the part of those in government here in America and other parts of the world to justify the evil that they have done. You know, Minister Farrakhan taught us that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Mm.
So if we were back in the time of Nat Turner, the slave master would have called him a terrorist, but for us he was definitely a freedom fighter. And what you see as a rise of the people in other parts of the world, particularly the Middle East, is a response to the unjust foreign policy of the American government and the oppression of the former colonial powers in Europe who went into Africa and colonized the people. And so as you see the people rising up, and this is why, again, they hate Islam, because Islam removes fear. Islam is not a turn-the-cheek religion. Islam is the kind of religion is that when you come and fight against me, I can call on God and fight against you and pray that God will bless me to be the winner. America has global ambitions, and the only other power in the world today that also has global ambitions but is a threat to America's imperialistic desire throughout the world is Islam. Islam is a religion. It is the fastest growing religion in the world. It's the fastest growing religion here in America, and it is the fastest growing religion in the black community.
Well,
and so it
is
a message
us,
that comes and empowers and uplifts the oppressed.
Okay, so tell us one reason why someone would convert from Christianity to becoming a Muslim or study or practicing Islam. Why would that?
Islam has the ability to not only explain, but it agrees with the nature of man.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that when you see our brothers out on the corner selling the newspaper and we are delivering the word of God to our people, we're not newspaper boys. We're delivering the word of God that is in that newspaper, and a Christian brother or sister will curse us out. Our response for those who have done this, they know our response is, may God bless you, brother or sister. Have a nice day. That's called taking a curse and then giving back a blessing. That's following Jesus, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the turn the other cheek. That's what turning the other cheek really means. It's just unfortunate that we had a whole civil rights movement in America that told black people that we should suffer peacefully at the hands of whites, and we should overpower their hatred of us with our love, and we should not return that hatred to them. But at the same time, when you look at the black-on-black crime and all of the hatred that exists in our community, when will the pastors come together in a message of unity and love for black people to love one another? We had a whole movement telling black people to suffer at the hands of white folks until our love for them overpowered their hatred for us. But where is that message now in our community? Islam brings a message that teaches the black man the knowledge of himself, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of his enemy or other than himself. It teaches him to love himself. It teaches him to love his brother, himself, and love his brother. It teaches him that his brother is an extension of himself, that he should love his woman, that he should protect his woman, that he should be smart and industrious, that he should clean up himself, and that by smoking marijuana, by drinking wine, by using drugs, by self-medicating, we are doing nothing but keeping ourselves in a drug state, basically. All of this just dims the power
of us as a people to do something for ourselves. So the enemy really doesn't have to do a whole lot of work. He just keeps drugs and guns in our community and alcohol, keeps us distracted with sex, and he doesn't even have to worry about us. We are just totally under control, living that life. Islam comes to erase that and remove that and restore the black man and woman to their true greatness and true power, and we are on our way. As dim and dismal as it may look, Islam is the fastest growing religion in America and among black people. And when we understand that to be a true Christian following Jesus, to be a true Jew following Moses, and to really submit yourself to do the will of God following the teachings of Muhammad, and as a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and under Minister Louis Farrakhan's guidance, we are all brothers and sisters, and we are all the people of God. We are called the righteous, and when we come into unity and stop arguing about labels and the name of books and the name of prophets, then we can overcome the problems that we all have in common. And this is the message of Islam, and this is why Minister Farrakhan is able to speak in so many churches, because the pastors who are truly awakened and truly understand who they're looking at understand that this man is anointed of God, and if he were not, he could not have called for one and gotten nearly 2 million black men to come to Washington, D.C., and afterwards not gloat, but say, to God be the glory. He is an instrument of God to our people today.
I understand now you're on your unity tour. Can you explain to them what your unity tour is all about and where you are what cities are you in, and tell us just a little bit about the unity tour.
Well, we're traveling all around the Metroplex. We stopped in Irvine. We're on our way to Grand Prairie. We'll be on our way to Lancaster and DeSoto and Garland and Richardson, and we're going to spread the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's voice and this message of unity among our people. But don't make any mistake about it. God wants us to be in unity today. He wants all people who want to strive to live a righteous life to be in unity. And there will come a time where the sheep will be separated from the goat and the wheat will be separated from the tare, and all people of goodwill have to come together, and we have to work in unity to solve the problems that exist in our community that's keeping us. And, you know, when you look at it, it's not even just the black problem today. And this is why the universal message of Islam, found in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, expressed by Minister Farrakhan, is so relevant today. As long as the condition that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching was brought here to solve exists, his teaching is relevant. We just have to teach it in a modern context. And this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan brings to us today.
Wow.
And we thank Allah for him.
Wow, that's going to have to be the final word. We want to thank Brother Jeffrey Muhammad for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
We want to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. On July 11, 2011, from 8 to 10 p.m., I want you to join me. That's next Monday. We're going to be talking about the Jerome Ursuline sentencing. He's going to be sentenced on July 11 for the pharmacy shooting in Oklahoma City that killed would-be robber Antoine Speedy Parker. He was found guilty of first-degree murder, which has upset the community of Oklahoma City, and I want you to join me for the reactions to that sentencing on July 11th. Again, that's next Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Listen, we want to thank all of you all for tuning in tonight. I hope we got some questions answered about is Islam a misunderstood religion. And again, we want to thank Jeffrey Muhammad for being with us. Really enjoyed the dialogue. Thank you again, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.